2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I got a thought on my heart. It's been on my heart all morning. I woke up this morning, and I'll be honest with you, I come to church, and somebody said, you're going to preach the same thing you're going to preach this morning tonight? And I said, I don't know what I was going to preach this morning, just to be honest with you. I had a couple outlines, but I had a thought on my heart that I got in my morning devotions. And God spoke to my heart, and this thing's been burning. And I'm going to be honest with you, it might not make a lick of sense when we get it out, but I think it'll be good. Amen? Y'all going to be all right either way, right? I got a thought that's burning on me, and I got to get it off. I mean, if I don't preach this, it's going to hurt. And I don't know if y'all know what that means, but I'm telling you, sometimes God gives you something, and it's like, sometimes I like to take a thought, and I like to write it down. And Brother Dennis, I like to come back to it in a week or two. I like to study it out, and I like to cultivate it. I like to go over it and really just let that thing brew. But sometimes you get something on you, and it's like, man, that's so good. I'm about to bust to get it off of me. Amen? Amen? Y'all know what that's like? It's kind of like when you go to the go down and you get paid, and you get that big fat paycheck. Y'all like it, right? And you done saw something down at the store you got to have. Amen? Come on, ladies. Y'all like to shop. Y'all ain't fooling me. And y'all see what you like. And you just can't wait. But you put it off. But then when you get that bonus, you say, hey, baby, I'm going down there and get it. Amen? Y'all with me? Man, I'm telling you. Y'all hold on now. 2 Corinthians. Y'all bear with me. And I'm going to try to get out of me what's in me and give it to y'all, all right? God help. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, Lord, I pray you to help us, Lord. I thank you, God, for what you've done this morning. I thank you, God, for helping us this morning, encouraging us. I thank you, God, for answering prayers. I thank you, God, for being so real. Lord, tonight we need you. We need your touch. God, we need your presence. Lord, we invite you and we beg you to come and meet with us tonight. God, help us, Lord, not just be here just to go through the motions and the rituals, but God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you'd show up tonight and that you'd show out and show us what you want to do. God, I pray you'd have your will and way. I pray that nobody here tonight, Lord, would grieve your spirit. I pray that nobody would consciously quench your spirit. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord. I pray to put aside the cares of the world. I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord. I pray to put aside and put away the sins and the weight that so easily beset us. And God, I pray you'd help us tonight to seek your face for a little while. I pray you'd help us to draw up close to you. And I pray, God, you'd speak to us in Jesus' name. Help us tonight. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 1, Apostle Paul writes in verse number 8, he says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. I'll go back and read verse number 9 and 10. He says, but we had this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. In Acts chapter number 20, the writer Luke writes, and he's describing Paul's ministry. And in Acts chapter number 20, he says this in verse number 22 and 23. He says, and behold now, he said, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul is talking about some physical dangers that faced him. He said that the Holy Ghost had already witnessed and told him that in every city he was going in, that bonds and afflictions abide him. He said, basically, Paul, you're going to go preaching the gospel, and when you get there, there's going to be afflictions and bonds waiting on you when you get there. You say, well, how in the world would that be reconciled with what Paul was doing? Paul wasn't doing anything illegal. He's preaching the gospel of the grace of God. He's preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost already told him beforehand, hey, Paul, when you get to town, hey, not only are people that need Christ going to be there, but bonds and afflictions abide you. They're waiting on you. Look up in here. Trouble's waiting on you, Paul, when you get there. What you going to do, Paul? What's going to happen, Paul? Y'all know the stories of Paul and how in the book of Acts he talks about the shipwreck and how he was beaten and how he was left for dead. And even one time he's put to death and God raised him from the dead. And we see how he was mistreated and persecuted and the tribulation that he went under. What you going to do, Paul? What's going to happen, Paul? Here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, in verse 8, he alludes to the troubles. He said he doesn't want you to be ignorant of the trouble which came us in Asia. He said that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Basically, we were at the point of death, physically. Are y'all with me? And he says in verse number 9, he said that we didn't trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Many scholars would say that probably maybe some of these things is what Paul was facing, and this is what he's alluding to when it maybe different things, the trials, the persecution that he faced. Here's what he's alluding to when he's talking about that they were despairing even of life. And here he says, but God which raiseth the dead is who we're trusting in. You say, Paul, why in the world could you trust to God when you're preaching His name and you're being stoned, when you're preaching His name and people are trying to kill you? Verse number 10. Y'all know Paul Harvey. He said, page 2, this is the rest of the story. And he'd get to the end of the page, the last page, and he'd say, now you know the rest of the story. We know that Paul said, yea, that they which live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But look in verse number 10. He said, who delivered us? Mark it down 3 times in your Bible in this one verse. Who delivered us, that's past, from so great a death. And doth deliver, that's present. In whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. That's future. He's already delivered. He's already, right now, delivering. And Paul said, I'm trusting that one day soon, very well could be, He's going to deliver again. I want to preach this thought, if I can get it out the best I can. I want to preach on this thought. Oh, my God delivers again. My God delivers again. We're looking here at Paul when he's talking about some physical trials that he went under, some physical things, and how God had delivered him from this death. And he said He doth deliver, and he said, I'm trusting that He's going to deliver. But we're thinking about this thing, and he said we had a sentence of death in ourselves. Can I say to you that not only physically but spiritually, you and I were born, hey, look up in here, you were born with a sentence of death on your life. You were born dead in your sins and in your trespasses before God. Look up in here, you wasn't born with a silver spoon in your mouth like everybody thinks. You wasn't born on your way to heaven. You wasn't born righteous. You wasn't born altogether, hey, good. You was born lost, no good in you. There's no righteousness in you. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. You was born on your way to hell. You say, preacher, I don't like that. I ain't saying I like it, but it's the truth of the matter of fact. And the best thing for us to do is look up at the doctor and get our diagnosis and take the right medicine. Amen. Amen. The truth of the matter is, spiritually, we all have a sentence of death in ourselves. We're born that way. Because the Bible says that, hey, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Psalmist said, I was born in sin, and in sin, I was born in iniquity and in sin. Hey, was I shaping in iniquity? I was shaping iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I'll get it out here in a minute. All right, y'all with me? Watch. For as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. You was born a sinner. And not only was you born a sinner, hey, you was born condemned to die because of sin. You was born with a penalty of death, a sentence of death on you. on your way. You understand that you're guilty before God. And let me say, it ain't no water baptism gonna take that death sentence off. It ain't no church membership gonna take that death sentence off. Are y'all with me? It ain't no Sunday school pins. It ain't enough pins in the world to take that penalty, that sentence of death that you got off of you. Hey, what did Isaiah say? He said, all our righteousness were but what? As filthy rags. Filthy rags, menstrual cloths, leprosy cloths, the dirtiest things you could find. He said, our righteousness is like a piled up pile of dirty rags. The best that I can do without Christ. The very best that I can do. Hey, I couldn't earn no favor. Hey, no merit on no merit on my behalf for Him. Hey, because, my righteousness, my good, will never measure up to the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of God and the righteousness that He brings. And he said, let me say spiritually, we got a death sentence. But Paul said, who delivered us, this is a great truth here in this verse, possibly he's referring to a physical trial, but spiritually Christ has done the same thing for you and I. He delivered us from so great a death. Ephesians chapter number 2. In Ephesians chapter number 2, Paul writes and he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. What's he saying? He's saying he's delivered you from death. He has, we sing the song. Hey, the word deliver, by the way, the word deliver means to rush or to draw or to drag out of danger, to rescue and to save. I'm glad I've been delivered, amen? I'm glad I serve a God. Amen. I'm glad, brother. I'm glad I serve a God that's able to deliver. I'm glad He delivered me January 10th, 1999. He delivered me from self-righteousness. He delivered me from sin. He delivered me from myself. He delivered me from death. He delivered me from despair. He delivered me from destruction. He delivered me from hell. And He delivered me to Himself. Thank God we got a God who saves and He delivers. Well, preacher, I don't know. Well, hold on. I'm glad our God delivers again. Galatians, excuse me if I can get it out here. Galatians chapter number 5. In Galatians chapter number 5, Paul writes and he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Hello, Tokyo. He says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. Can I say, not only did He deliver you from sin's penalty of death, but He has delivered you from the very power of sin. You don't have to live a slave to sin. Hey, He's delivered you. You have liberty in Christ. He set me free. Yes, He set me free. Amen. We've been delivered. God delivers again. Paul wrote over in Romans chapter number 7. And y'all know there in Romans chapter 7, he's talking about the things that I would do, I don't, and the things that I don't ought not do, those things I do. He said, O wretched man that I am, in verse 24, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind that I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What did he say? He said, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is the only one who can deliver you. Who's going to deliver me, preacher? God delivers again. My God delivers again. Here he says, He hath delivered us, who delivered us from so great past, who doth deliver us present, and yet will deliver us future. Let me say, He saves us from the penalty of sin at salvation. In the past, when you got saved, He saved you from the very penalty of sin. You deserved hell on your best day. One preacher said we ought to be in hell, in jail, or out on bail, amen. But God came by and in His grace, He saved us and He delivered us. You think back with me. If we can go back to the Old Testament and remember those Egyptians had the Israelites down in Egypt and they had them in bondage. Y'all with me? And those Israelites down there, not only were they slaves, but they were sinners. Amen. Those Israelites that were in Egypt were worshiping false gods right along with the Egyptians. And God raises up a prophet. God raises up a man to go down to Egypt and go nose to nose with Pharaoh and say, set my people free. And God raises up a Moses, and Moses goes down there, and Moses tells Pharaoh, and y'all know the story, they go through the 10 plagues, and finally that last one, Pharaoh finds out that his son's dead. And God has already told Moses, hey, go tell them to apply the blood on the door. And they put the blood on the door, man. They go to the door, they go to the top of the door, and they put some blood. And they go to this side of the door, and they put some blood. And they go to this side of the door, and they put some blood. And let me just help you out here. If you got blood here, and you got blood here, and you got blood here, guess what? You got blood dripping here, and you got a perfect picture of what? A cross. Hey, I'm telling you that in Egypt, when Moses went down there, God said, I'm setting my people, I'm making my people free. And God delivered the nation of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. Hey, God delivered them. It's a great picture of salvation. And then they get to the Red Sea. They get over to the Red Sea, and there's a sea in front of them. There's a mountain on one side. There's a desert around. They've got an army coming behind them, and they don't know what to do. And in Exodus chapter number 14, Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And old Moses lifted up the rod, and he pointed it out over the sea, and God split the waters. Hey, man, and the waters rolled back. Hey, and they made a way. And they said, the Bible said they walked through on dry ground. I believe they was going through, and I believe when Pharaoh got there, they didn't see nothing but a cloud of dust. The Bible said dry ground. It didn't say muddy ground. Amen. And so God delivered again. And you can go on down through when we can get over. And when they come across the Jordan, God delivered them. And God delivered. Hey, when Joshua was leading the nation of Israel, and they went in and battle after battle after battle. You remember when they didn't trust God, when they didn't listen to God. And they went over there and they couldn't win. They couldn't defeat Ai. Y'all with me? Hey, but when they followed God, when they listened for God, and when they followed and went God's way and followed God's plan, God delivered them time after time after time, and He delivered the enemies into their hand. And we just fast forward a little bit. Y'all remember that little shepherd boy David? He's out there keeping his daddy's sheep. And his daddy says, David, I need you to go down to the battle. And he said, I need you to go down there and take your brother some food. Take him some cheese. Take him some bread. Take him some Dr. Pepper. Amen. And it's in there. Study it. And he said, amen, God help. He's an NIV over there. Gotta get away from him. Hey. And David goes down there. And David looks out and he hears this fella coming out, and he's defying God, and he's defying the armies of God, and he sees this big old giant Goliath over there. And David looks around and he says, is there not a cause? Y'all know his brothers were saying, oh, David, shut up. You just came down here and see what you can get into. You ought to be back there keeping daddy's sheep. Why ain't you over there keeping the sheep? They're making fun of him. And old David says, hey, the battle's not mine, man. It's the Lord's. And David goes in there and he says, Saul, he said, I can't take your armor. I can't take your sword. I can't take your helmet. I can't take what you got. I hadn't proved that. He said, I'm going to him in the name of the Lord and in the power of the Lord. And old David went up there. Oh, little runt David. Oh, big giant Goliath. Somebody said, how in the world did David, hey, how did he hit that man with his rock? The question is not how did he hit him, but how in the world could he have missed? God was on his side. God delivered David that day. God delivered Goliath into the hands of David. Oh, David cut his head off. Hey, and the rest of them went running. I'm telling you, God delivered again. Well, you can go on down through. There's all kinds of stories in the Bible, but y'all know in Daniel chapter number 3, oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Somebody said it was Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. Y'all catch on that in a minute. But Daniel chapter 3, old king, he's got him an idol built. He's got him a statue built. And he says, when I turn my music on, when I turn my rock and roll on, says, y'all going to fall down. Everybody's going to fall down. Everybody's going to bow to this God. Everybody's going to bow to this statue. And old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, children of the God of heaven, children of Israel's God, children of Yahweh God, the God of heaven, the one and only true God. They said, we can't do that. We can't bend. We can't do that. We can't bend a knee to no pagan God. We can't do that. We worship the God of heaven. And y'all know the story. And they came back to him. And they told Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar spake and he said unto them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? He said, now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who, watch it now, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He said, boys, I'm going to give you one more chance, and if you don't do it, you're going in the fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? It sounds like he might be making fun of them. It sounds like he might be a little sarcastic with, hey, boys, who is your God? How's he going to deliver? Who's the God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we're not scared. We're not worried about this, but hey, we're not even going to take a whole lot of time to answer you. Most of us, we'd have to get the public a poll. We'd have to put our finger in the air and see which way's the wind blowing. We'd have to get the popular opinion, what's everybody think? No, we're not going to be careful to answer you in this matter. Verse 17, they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Amen. Said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of that hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king. But if not, be it known. They said, he's able. But if not, that's a message right there. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Y'all know the story. They're thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And here they are, they're in there. And verse 25, the king looks in, and he says, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto what? The Son of God. I wonder how he knew what the Son of God looked like. Amen. I'm saying God delivered again in the fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3. God delivered Daniel out of the mouth of the lions. God delivered the three Hebrew children here out of the fiery furnace. He was that king, Nebuchadnezzar. He was saying, who is that God? Verse 28. You look at the end of that verse. He says that they might not serve nor worship any God except their God. He found out who their God was because God delivered again. Can I say time and time and time again down through history, God has over and over and over again, he has delivered his children out of the hand of the enemy. He's delivered his children. Hey, physically, he's delivered his children spiritually. God delivers again. Over and over and over and over again. We can go down through history. We can look at how God has delivered the saints of old throughout the Scripture. But I want you to notice some things here. In verse number 10 of 2 Corinthians 1, he said, who delivered us from so great a death? Can I say thank God when Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross and he said it's finished. Hey, atonement was complete. Hey, the work was done. Redemption's plan was finished. He said it's finished. And when he did, hey, what he was saying was you've been delivered if you trust him. If you look to him, you'll be saved. Trust him. Delivered. Set free. Made free. Amen. God delivers again. Let me say, wow. In our past, saved people, if you're not saved, you need to be delivered. Look up in here. If you ain't saved, you're in bondage. If you ain't saved, the Bible says you've been blinded by the God of this world. And you're in bondage to sin and to Satan. But I'm glad to tell you that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I'm glad to tell you, when you hear the Word of God, you hear the good news of Jesus Christ, you realize that you're a sinner and you're lost and you're without hope and you're without help and you're on your way to a place called hell. That Jesus said, if you trust in Him, you'd repent of your sins and turn to Him. He said, them that come unto Him, hey, He said, I nowise cast out. John said, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Thank God, He delivers, He sets us free. You hath He quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses before God. He sets us free. Let me say, in the past, and when we were saved, He delivered us from the penalty of sin. But presently, hey, Paul said, and doth deliver. He didn't just say, who delivered us, but He said, and doth deliver. Y'all with me? Well, Jimmy, you with me? He said, and doth deliver. And doth deliver. I'm glad that He set me free or made me free. Can I say it more correctly? I'm glad the Bible says He made me free when He saved me. He made me free. I'm not worried about it. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8, chapter number 1. Hey, no condemnation to those that are saved. Not saved on your way to hell. Hey, never been saved, going to burn forever. Not annihilation, but destruction eternally. You with me? Bam. But saved, born again, made free. No condemnation. No judgment hanging over my head tonight. No condemnation. Amen. That's pretty... Amen. Thank God I ain't got to go to hell. He delivered me in the past from the penalty. Amen. But He said, and doth, presently. At this very moment, He doth. He is presently delivering me. Not from the penalty of sin, but from the very power of sin. Yes, I ain't got time to go into it tonight, but Romans chapter 6. You can go over in Romans chapter 6, and it talks about how we've been baptized with Him and raised to walk in newness of life. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Verse 1, Romans chapter number 6. He talks about, he's in the end of chapter 5, he's talking about how where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And then in verse 1 of chapter 6, he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! No, you don't have to continue to live in sin. Romans chapter number 6 is a great doctrinal passage in showing us how, as a Christian in this life, you're not bound to sin. You don't have to be a servant to sin. You've been set free. You can know the truth. You can reckon the truth. And you can let the Lord reign in your body. You've got a choice as a Christian. You're either going to let sin reign in your body or you're going to let the Savior reign in your body. Preachers, was encouraging until we got to this point. I'm just saying, if you're saved, you don't sin because you have to. You sin because you want to. That goes for me, that goes for you, that goes for anybody else. Now, the Bible, thank God, does say if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? We can shout from here till heaven on that one. Amen? But let me just say, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And the flesh, this old flesh, the old man, when I wake up in the morning, I got a choice. I'm putting Romans chapter 6, I'm just paraphrasing it for you and giving it to you my terminology. When you get up in the morning, you've got a choice. You're going to feed the old man, you're going to feed the new man. Are you going to let the old man and sin run your life? Or are you going to tell the new man, hey, here I am, Lord. I'm presenting my body to You, a living sacrifice. Here I am. Take me, use me, fresh and anew. And hey, watch it now. He delivered us and doth. Y'all with me on that doth and doth deliver us? Right now, He's presently delivering us from the power of sin. It's the terminology in doctrine, theology, what we call sanctification. People don't like to hear about it much no more. See, the penalty of sin is justification. You've been declared righteous. Hey, before a mighty, almighty God, a holy God, He, even though you've sinned, Christ's righteousness is placed on your behalf. And when God sees you, the only way He sees you is as righteous as His Son. That's justification. You're declared righteous. It's not, people used to say, justification's just as if I never sinned. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's not exactly right. You can say that, but it is, what it is even though I have sinned, in Christ I've still been declared righteous. It's a judicial fact, justification. But then this doth deliver is sanctification. It's a daily, continual process. That when I get up each morning, I yield my body to one of two people, the old man or the new man. I yield my body to the Holy Spirit living inside me, that exchanged life, that it's for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ which lives within me. So every day I've got a conscious decision. Am I going to walk in newness of life? Or am I going to be a servant to sin? But thank God. You say, preacher, how can I do that? Help me, it's so hard. And the flesh is weak. Guess what? The flesh is weak. But here it is. And doth deliver us. There it is. And doth deliver us. Thank God when temptation comes along. Hey, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. And he talks about how he'll not only with the temptation, but he'll offer a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. What he's saying, preacher, I'm saying the very God that saved you from the penalty of sin, if you want to, and if you're following after him and you're yielded to him every day, not only does he have the power to deliver you from the penalty of sin, and y'all can rejoice about that, you ain't got to go to hell, amen, but the same God with the same power to deliver you from that penalty, hey, he's the same God that's got the same power to deliver you from the very power. And day after day after day after day after day, as you yield your body to him, as you follow him, as you're in the Word, hey, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy Word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You're not going to live a Christian life. You're not going to have a life that's pleasing to him. You're not going to have a life, hey, that's living outside of the power of sin unless you're in the book. That's your spiritual food. And watch it now. When you're digesting and meditating on the Word of God, you can't separate the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whatever you want. You can't separate the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. They always agree. Amen? They always agree. And so, when you put the Word of God in, the Holy Spirit takes the Word, He leads you, He guides you, He directs you, in all truth. Amen. What's He doing there? He's doth deliver us. Doth deliver us. Watch. I don't know if I got time for all this. Psalm 34. Y'all in a hurry? Y'all already sleep. Psalm 34. Psalm 34:6. The psalmist said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That's past tense. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I like verse 6. He said the poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. But I like verse 7 where he says the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord, they're the ministers of the Lord. They are those that God has around the Christians to minister to them and to help them. He said the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and what? Delivereth them. You realize that, hey, not only is he delivering you, he's helping you deliver you from the power of sin day by day, but he's delivering you from the possibilities of what could happen to you. And doth deliver. I'm talking on the physical side now. Have you ever stopped and just thought about, just for a wee little second, what could have happened to you going down the highway? Have you ever watched the news and seen where some of these crazies come out with a gun and they just start mowing people down in the public square? Have you ever thought, dear God, I wonder why that never happened where I was? Did you ever think? Did you ever think that sometimes what we think are bad things that throw our schedule off, and then you find out later on that there was a bad accident right the direction you was headed? Did you ever think that the angels of God, did you ever think that His ministers were watching out over you and they were delivering you from destruction? Did you ever know that Satan, the Bible says, hey, he walketh about seeking, hey, to steal, kill, and to destroy? He's walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Did you ever think that as a Christian, hey, Satan's got a big bullseye on your back and he knows he can't get your soul and your spirit, but he knows he can ruin your testimony. He knows he can ruin your body. He wants to destroy you. He wants to hurt you. He wants to make a wreck of your life. He wants to make a wreck of your home. Wants to make a wreck of this church. Did you ever think that God's got angels all around delivering you presently from those? Did you ever realize that we are in a spiritual battle? You don't understand the conflict tonight that's probably within these walls. You don't understand the spiritual warfare that's going on all around us. And you think when somebody comes at you, you think that there's this, you know, they're just hateful and this and that, and you'd like to get them. Do you understand that the Bible says that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the princes and the powers of this air? I'm telling you, we are in a world. I'm telling you, Halloween brings out the worst, and I ain't trying to be mean. Go trick-or-treating, eat your candy, but you better understand Halloween, hey, comes from wicked roots. And I'll bob an apple with you if you want. I like apples, but let me tell you something. Bobbing apples didn't start out bobbing apples. You study your history, it's a wicked, satanic holiday. I'm talking about a Christian killing holiday. That's where it started. Now, I ain't being mean. I'll eat candy with the rest of you, all right? Y'all with me? I like candied apples. I like Snicker bars. I like Mars bars. If they'd make them again, I like Mars bars. Amen? Some of y'all old enough ought to have said amen on Mars bars. Somebody told me they made Mars bars in Marion, North Carolina a couple years ago. I almost went down there and bought a truckload. They need to bring them up here. Here's what I'm saying. Hey, all around us, you can't see it tonight, but I'm telling you, the powers of hell are around. They don't like what's going on in here tonight. I promise you, they don't like the singing. They don't like the preaching. They don't like the Word of God. You say, preacher, are you trying to be spooky? No, I'm trying to be real. And you understand that just like God delivered you when you got saved, that He's presently, if you're His, He's got a hedge of protection around you. That's why it's important to stay in fellowship. That's why it's important to stay in fellowship with Christ. That's why it's important to stay in fellowship with the local church. That's why, I'm telling you, when you get out of the local church, I'm telling you, nobody wants to hear it in this day, but there's a hedge of protection, within the local church. And if it wasn't in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, He wouldn't have told them to put them out of the church and deliver them over to Satan, for the destruction of their flesh. I'm telling you, in the confines, if a saved man says, the local church don't save nobody, but for the person that's saved, you can't be in a safer place than to be a faithful member of the local church. And while you're there, I'm telling you, when you're in fellowship with one another, you're in fellowship with Christ, I'm telling you, He's got angels. Somebody said, there's angels among us. There's angels you don't know about. You might have brought an angel on your shoulder. Somebody said, there's angels in the outfield. There's angels in the infield too, amen. Are y'all with me tonight? I thank God that He delivered me. But I'm thanking God that He's delivering me right now. Amen. You don't know the dangers you face tomorrow when you hop up in that rig and you go down the road, Mitchell. And the angels of hell, those fallen angels, those demons, they'd like nothing more than to bring somebody out in front of you. They'd like nothing more than for your brakes to fail. But I'm telling you, you got angels. I'm telling you, look at the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and deliver them. Well, ain't that special? That's precious Jesus. I'm telling you, He doth deliver us. Presently, He's delivering us. Can we go to 2 Peter? This one might mess up. This one might mess up some of your theology. But that's all right, because it's going to come right out the Bible. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Y'all remember a guy named Lot? Y'all remember Lot? If you would have lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, you would have thought Lot was a lost man. Look up in here. When God sent His angels to Sodom and Gomorrah and told Lot to get his children and his family and get out of town, his sons-in-law, the Bible says, mocked him. They laughed at him. Lot had been living a life totally 180 of what he believed. Say, how long was it? I don't know. I can't answer all the questions, but I'm just going to read you what the Bible says. 2 Peter chapter number 2, and we'll start out in verse 6. The Bible says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." That right there is a verse that ought to be just preached, hey, on Washington, D.C., and New York City, and Los Angeles, and Hollywood. Hey, God said He judged Sodom and Gomorrah, making them an example. Now, that's another message, but I'm telling you, people say, I didn't really have it. God said it's an example. And verse number 7 says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Now, let me help you here for a second. That word "just," y'all know we use the word "just" and we say, "I just got a drink." And that means this one, right? That is not what that word "just" means. You look that word "just" mean, and that word "just" means righteous. It's the sense of just being right. And here it is, "And delivered righteous Lot." "And delivered just Lot. Vexed with," vexed, not happy, but "vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked." Watch verse 8 and 9. "For that righteous man," whoa, there it is, "for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." It's very important. Time out. It's very important what you look at and what you listen to. Young people, Caleb, Blake, Chad, hey, young people, look up here for a second. It does matter what you listen to. It does matter the music. It does matter the voices. It matters the people. Hey, look up in here. Hey, you can't... you can't have a diet of M&M. And I ain't talking about the candy. Or Carrie Underwood, look up in here. Without it affecting you. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to help you. You can't live a life that's totally in communion with Christ when you're feasting on the things of this world. Lot was affected by what he saw and what he heard. He vexed his righteous soul. But thank God for verse 9. Verse 9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." What he said? The Lord knew how to go down there and get Lot and get him out of there and spare him physically to get him right spiritually. He knew how to take care of him. Just Lot. That righteous Lot. The Lord knows how to deliver. You say, "I don't know if the Lord knows how to help me in what I'm going through. You don't know how rough it is, preacher. You don't know how bad it is where I work. You don't know what's going on in my house." Hey, I'm telling you, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Well, I'll hurry along. I have no idea how long. Hey, past penalty, present power. But he goes on in verse 10. He says, "And will that he will He said, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. He's already delivered us in the past. He's delivering us presently. But Paul said, I got to trust that in the future He's going to continue. Paul said, there's a deliverance that I'm looking forward to. All right. Y'all been good listeners now and everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Do you understand? I think y'all here tonight do understand. I don't have to go into a whole lot of detail. But there's coming a judgment on this earth. That the wrath of God, hey, there's going to be a rapture. The church of God is going to be delivered. The body of Christ is going home. We're going to heaven. And after that rapture, Antichrist is going to strike a deal and sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And at the sign of that peace treaty, I'm telling you, 7 years of hell on earth is going to be unleashed on planet earth. Are y'all with me? I'm talking the wrath of God. There's many debates. Brother Mitchell's been teaching about the different views of Revelation. I'm here to tell you there's a lot of people that think in the book of Revelation that it's nuclear power or that man's messing himself up. But I'm telling you, hey, man didn't get theirself here and man ain't taking theirself out. Hey, in the book of Revelation, you'll find out the wrath of Almighty God is turned loose and He will judge the people of this earth. You say, preacher, I don't want to be here for that. You just go read about it. Revelation, starting in chapter number 6, and go through up to verse chapter 19. And you read about, I'm not exaggerating, am I? I'm telling you, hell on earth is the best way I know to describe it. There's people says, well, God's going to let us, you know, go through half of it. You can stay here for half of it if you want, but I'm taking out on the first load. When the trumpet blows and He says, come up hither, I'm gone, good neighbors. And you are too if you're saved, like it or not. But 1 Thessalonians, did I tell you? In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, say, prove that to me, preacher. What I'm trying to tell you is, He knows how to deliver them and He's going to deliver us. I'm telling you, there's a future. We've been saved. Watch me now. We have been saved from the penalty. And we're being saved from the power. But one of these days, and it could be soon, Miss Gladys, we're going to be saved. We're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. It'll be good by what? You say, preacher, can you prove that? Here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Verse 9, he says, for they themselves show us what manner of entering in you had unto you. We had unto you, and how you turned to God. There's repentance. That's how they got saved. How you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And verse 10 says, and to wait for the Son from heaven, whom He have raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What about that? He delivered us from the wrath to come. He's already done it. In His eyes, we're delivered. Turn over to chapter 5, verse number 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we be whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Can I ask you a question? What kind of comfort would it be that you know that you had to go through the first 3.5 years of hell on earth, tribulation period? How could you edify somebody and encourage somebody with that? No, I'm telling you, we're going to be delivered. Just as sure as you can sit there and say, I'm not going to hell. You can say, I ain't going through the tribulation period. I ain't going through one there second of Daniel's 70th week. Hey, when the trumpet blows, I'm out of here. Y'all don't get excited about it, but I'm going to go home and do jumping jacks about it, amen. I'm glad. I used to get scared too dead. My mom tell you, they used to show them movies about the thief in the night. Them old ones, not that new stuff. With them lies like Tim LaHaye tells about people getting saved after the rapture. That ain't happening. You heard the gospel. There's going to be people saved, but it ain't going to be y'all. You hear me tonight? Can I help you out here for a second? Can I time out? I know I didn't get to preach this morning. Hey, if you're sitting here tonight, you've been under the sound of the gospel, and you're not saved, if the rapture happens, I'm going to tell you the best thing you can do. Okay? The best thing you can do is go down to the Social Security or wherever they're giving the mark of the beast and get that thing just as quick as you can get it and enjoy life on this earth for as long as you can, because you're going to hell. Just study 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. If you rejected the grace of God and the love of God right now in this day, hey, when you had a good chance, hey, it ain't no second chances. Now, for those that ain't heard the gospel, you know, like those at Joel Osteen's church, hey, y'all get that. For those that ain't heard a clear presentation of the gospel, I believe they'll be given a chance. I believe they'll hear the gospel and have a chance to be saved. But most of them's going to laugh, just like in the book of Revelation. They ain't going to repent. They're just going to keep on denying. The Bible talks about a great delusion. They're going to believe a lie. But guess what? I ain't going to be here. I'm going to be delivered. But God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Revelation chapter number 3. I'm about done. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. Verse number 10. Jesus said, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation." Which, watch it now. What's he talking about? Just a bad time? What's he describing? Oh, wait a minute. He's going to tell you. "Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Can I tell you that in history, me and Brother Mitchell was talking about this earlier, in the history of our world, there has never been a tribulation period and a time of temptation like the Bible describes in the book of Revelation worldwide. There have been people. Matter of fact, there have been good Christian people, Huss and different ones, that went to the stake, burnt for the cause of Christ, gave their life's blood, went to heaven shouting hallelujah and singing the hymns of the faith. They were persecuted and tried. They stood underneath great temptation and trials. But never, never, what's described here, which shall come upon all the world, worldwide tribulation. But Jesus said, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee," not in, but from. You understand that sometimes, go back to Daniel in chapter 3, Hebrews children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He delivered them through the fire. He went in the fire with them. He was waiting on them. Y'all with me? Y'all going to sleep, ain't you? He delivered them in the fire. He was in there with them when they came out. The only thing that burned on them was the ropes that had them bound. Amen? Does the Bible not say that they didn't even smell like smoke? But right here in Revelation 3:10, he said, "I'll deliver you from the hour of temptation." Read it. "I'll deliver you from it." Say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about a rapture. Ain't no getting around it. It's got to be. I'm talking for the child of God. You've been saved, all right? You've trusted Christ. If you've been saved, you've been delivered. You're being delivered. And you've got a hope that you're one day going to be delivered. Amen? I'm looking forward to it. No more taxes. Amen? No more Monday mornings, amen? No more homework? No more homework? No more homework?
Amen.
Chad don't like homework. Guess what? When I was in school, I didn't like homework either. Guess what? I still don't like homework. Hey. Goodbye. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Brother Dennis, you ever got any aches and pains? Should have got them right now. Guess what? He's coming today, brother. When that trumpet blows, he says, come up hither. Gonna be, hey, gonna have a brand new body. Woo! I'll drop these old robes. This old, hey, like the song said, if I'm dead and I'm in the ground, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Gonna get up out of the ground. When I hear that trumpet sound, ain't no grave. Y'all are about dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. Is my singing that bad? The truth is, hey, whether you go by way of the grave, the upper taker, or whether you go by way of the rapture and the upper taker, bless God, the trumpet's going to sound. There's going to be a shout. We're leaving out. Hey, we've been delivered. We're being delivered. And thank God, if you have been delivered and you are being delivered, one of these days you will be delivered. Amen. And if you're not presently being delivered and you know that you've never been delivered, one of these days you ain't going to be delivered. You better know that you have been delivered and you're being delivered. I tell you, I used to get scared to death watching movies. I'd go home. You remember? I mean, I got saved every time I watched them. Wasn't saved. Y'all know what I'm saying. It's all right. It's all right. I go home tonight. Come bedtime, I'll lay down. If my wife ain't got nothing to talk about, I'm going to sleep. I ain't going to worry about wondering if the trumpet blows. I ain't going to worry about Antichrist. I ain't going to worry about the mark of the beast. I ain't gonna worry about, you know, if I mean I remember mom and them used to, I think they played tricks on us after they'd watch the movies and stuff. Somebody preach on the tribulation. We'd get up in the morning, it'd be all quiet, and I'd go in there and I'd be looking around. I couldn't find nobody, it wasn't nobody in her bed. I'd be looking all around. I think she was hiding upside the corner of the house to see what I'd do or something. I don't know what she'd do. I remember coming home. Even as a teenager, I remember coming home and thinking, they ought to be home from church. You know, back when I was skipping church and wasn't telling. And I'd come in there and I'd be looking around and there wasn't nobody there. And I'd be scared to death. Caleb, I'd get on the phone and I'd call my grandma. I'd call my uncle. I'd call different people. I knew if I could get some of them on the phone, I was all right. You see, my mom? I mean, I'm talking worried, scared. Guess what? I ain't scared no more. I've been delivered. Amen. Have you been delivered? Have you been delivered from the penalty of sin? Have you been saved? Are you being delivered presently from the power of sin? Are you working, going through practical sanctification? Are you being saved, being delivered from the power of sin? And if you are you looking forward to, with rejoicing tonight? Are you looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ? We're looking for it. The deliverance. Are you looking for it? Delivered? Doth deliver, yet will deliver. Amen. Thank God. I'm telling you, my God delivers again. I could go on. I could probably preach that right there all night long. I could go on through the Bible. You can talk about how He delivered the apostles in the book of Acts. You can, I mean, don't get me going. Delivered. Delivered. Doth deliver. Gonna be delivered. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, you've been good to us. Thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping us tonight. God, I pray there be anybody in this room tonight that's lost. They're not assured tonight that heaven's their home. They've never been delivered. They've never been saved. God, I pray tonight you convict them. God, I pray you'd help them to see the seriousness of the hour. Lord, let them see that you loved them so much that you gave your only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross and give his life and shed his blood, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, I pray, Lord, you take the grace of God, minister to their heart. Holy Spirit, convict them. Draw them and woo them to your side. God, I pray you'd have your will and way here tonight. I pray for the Christian that maybe they're weary, maybe they're struggling. God, I pray you'd help them to be encouraged tonight, knowing that our God delivers again and again and again and again. And we're looking forward to that great day of deliverance when you call us out of this world and take us home with you. Father, I pray you'd help us over the rejoicing hearts to serve you and to love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the pianist is